Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Bass University TV. We happen to be filming today at this year's Bassmaster Classic, and we're having a blast. We're down here at Birmingham, Alabama, where it all got started, where all this amazing sport got started. And we're talking with the greatest anglers in the world. We're talking about techniques that are enlightening to us, that help everybody become a better angler, or give some really, really good insight on how to be better at it. And I'm tickled that I've got with me right here in his sophomore year out on the Elite Series, we've got Derek Hudnall. Thanks for being here, man.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Usually we have more people with microphones and everybody claps. But
right. That's okay.
We're all clapping on the inside.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
No, it's great to have you, man.
Thank
and,
you.
You know, I know I know you would rather be in this Derby.
Mm-hmm, I would.
And I know we talked about it just a little bit, and we've talked
about
it before, because I remember us dealing with this on the show. But you had an unbelievable, terrible thing happen to you.
Yes.
And you got DQ'd from a tournament.
I did. I absolutely did.
Kept you out of this year's Classic.
It did. That's the reason why I'm working it and not fishing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, rookie mistake. I was actually last year, right before I came up to, you know, I fished the 49th Classic last year, qualified through the Opens, and I left home about a week early to go pre-fish Hartwell before I came here, before I came to Knoxville to start practicing. And I'm a calendar junkie, so I went through my calendar. I marked off 28 days before every event for off limits, and I made the mistake of marking it off from the first day of the tournament, when in fact it starts from the first day of official practice.
Right.
So the Monday was the first official day of off limits, and I fished a half a day on the water at Hartwell that day. So I, you know, later on that night, Later on that night, I was talking to a friend of mine that fishes the Elite Series, and we were just chit chatting. Told him, I said, well, I only fished about a half a day today because of the rain and such. I said, I'm going to start getting ready to go up to Knoxville to start scouting the Classic. And he said, man, I thought today was the first day of off limits. And I said, I don't think so. And I'm looking at my calendar, and I'm counting 28 days. And I said, no, man, it's not. He said, okay, you may be right. So anyway, we went about our business, kept talking. And when we got off the phone, I pulled up the info sheet and saw the date was that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I figured it out. I made the phone call to Trip Weldon and turned myself in and said, look, man, I made a mistake. This is what I did. And that was during Classic Prep Week last year. And so I hated that I had to put that on them, but they called me back that Thursday right before we started practicing for last year's Classic. And he told me, he said, look, we don't have a choice but to disqualify you. But, you know, they got no bad flack from me because it was my mistake, you know, and I completely understand why they needed to do that. So I started last year in a really big hole, and you know, I ended up still making the AOY Championship top 50 last year, and I had a chance. I had a chance. I was just this close to still making the Classic with that zero, and went to St. Clair last year, man, and I caught 25 pounds of smallmouth on day one, was right behind Fighter, and thought it was going, then I had two bad days behind it, but man, lessons learned, I can tell you. There is a bunch of them.
What a great year, though, to make up after that terrible start.
You know, and I never lit the world on fire. You know, I didn't bomb any. You know, I was kind of, you know, I had some teens and 20s and some 30s mixed in there. You know, so it kind of kept me, right there in the mix of things. You know, so I wouldn't call it a great year, but I wouldn't call it a bad year. But, you know, we have, you know, myself personally and everybody who fishes this thing, we have two main goals going into the season. I want to compete for AOY Championship, and I want to fish next year's Classic.
Right.
And I didn't do either one of them because of that. So, you know, lessons learned. But, hey, there's always next year. And, you know, I can promise you that mistake won't happen to me again.
Man, so. It says a lot about your character.
Well, I appreciate that.
That you would turn yourself in and do that because, you know, I know the Ginger Ninja wouldn't. He wouldn't make that call. He would collect those points at Hartwell, he would be sneaking his way right into the Classic, wouldn't he?
Uh-huh.
Ninja right through it.
Ninja, that's right. He'd ninja right through it.
Ninja style.
But that's bold. That's bold, and you know, I think a lot of people can relate and appreciate that, the fact that you did that. So it says a lot.
Well, I appreciate that.
And it says a lot about your talent to be able to get in the AOY Championship after that start. And then, you know, next year I'm sure – you know, we're going to be looking at another shot at the Classic.
I surely hope so.
Well, you know, you certainly showed that track record. And one of the techniques that a couple of these are, you know, dear to my heart. And I love to fish this way. Mm-hmm. I love to flip. I love to pitch. Mm-hmm. I love using the smaller profile jigs that I'm staring at right here. So I know that's one of your strengths. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking to you guys about flipping and pitching techniques and some of the things that you do that helped you overcome a DQ.
Yeah.
Helped you overcome a completely missed tournament.
You know, and I want to be careful when we start talking about strengths. And especially I talk to a lot of high schools and college, you know, everybody, because every time you talk to a kid, they always tell me, a spinnerbait is my strength. You know, this is my strength. I say, hey, wait back. It's not a strength. It's a comfort zone. There's a difference, because if you call it a strength, you're going to want to do it all the time. And we get tunnel vision, and we, you know, I love a jig. It catches them on. Then that's all you flip all day. It's more of a comfort zone rather than a strength for me. But I have probably won more money in my career by far, whether I'm flipping a D-bomb or one of these Ike mini flips or a flip out for missile jigs. No doubt. And this is well before I met John and I was affiliated with Missile Baits. I have won a lot of money doing this.
Well, that to me is an important thing that I want you guys to pay attention to. And this changed my fishing. Was when I went back and looked at my tournament results, and I looked at where I made money.
Right.
And I found out that I like to flip.
That's right.
I didn't realize it about myself. I didn't realize when I got on that bite, I made a check or I made a top 10.
That's right.
And I didn't really realize. So, you know, identifying those areas, your comfort zones, as you say, baits that you can score with is huge in your fishing. So go back, look back at what you've been successful with. And recognize, because now I go out and looking for that flipping bite.
That's right.
You know, because I know if I find it,
that's right,
I could get to the top.
And some of the best in the world at it, like your Matt Herons and stuff like these, are people that live and die by that flipping stick.
Yeah.
But they are so good at it that, and they have so much confidence in what they do. They can spend an entire practice and just look for that, but they're just looking for that one area where it will work.
Right.
I'm not going to say I'm going to spend all practice looking for that bite, but if that bite's there and I can find it, I will be 100% comfortable with this flipping stick in my hand.
Well, tell me about it. I see a couple jigs.
That's right.
What are we using?
It's that time of the year. You know, right now I have two jigs in front of me. One is the Missile Baits flip out. What this is the this is a standard, your standard size flipping jig right here. I think I have a 3/4 ounce right here. And then I also have the Missile Baits Ike mini flip, which everybody's very familiar with. That's won a lot of money. And these, you know, all jigs are not created equally. And right now we're in the beginning of March, end of February, beginning of March. This is the time of the year, some of the best time of the year, really January through right now, some of the best time of year for you guys to catch the biggest fish of a lifetime.
That's right.
And it is really hard to beat a jig, especially a big one like this flip out this time of the year, because you're looking for that one bite. So when do I throw a smaller jig versus a bigger jig? This is the way I look at it. Is this time of the year, this time of the year standardly, I'm going to throw this bigger jig simply because the water temps are cold. The water temps are really cold right now, and the fish just simply aren't that active. So when they feed, they don't want to exude a ton of energy. You know, and a 10-pound fish is more than likely not going to be out in 40 foot of water chasing blue heron or chasing, a school of threadfin shad. Mm-hmm. They're going to be very specific and key on, something they don't have to exert a lot of energy in, and something that's really high in protein that's going to kind of fill them up. That's why a big jig is really hard to beat this time of the year. And this time of the year, I'm going around, let's take a lake like Gunnersville. You know, if I had a pretty good sack earlier, a 15 to 18 pound sack, and I saw a couple of guys doing it, I'm going to run around and fish any type of isolated cover I can, an isolated lay down that I can put this big jig in. Because that's the kind of place those big fish, when they first start moving up or they want to eat, they'll get on something isolated like that. And I like to soak this bigger jig in there this time of the year especially.
And what about, tell me about trailers. I see you've got.
I'm a D-bomb guy. I mean, I am a D-bomb addict at heart, because I truly believe that if I swim this thing by one, he's going to eat it.
Yep.
And man, the amount of big fish that I've caught on a D-bomb. So that's why I put it as a trailer on all of my jigs, just like this. Just the tail action is extremely subtle, but it's very fluid. Whenever it bounces in the water, the tail action of that thing is just incredible. And it's really lifelike, super soft, and when they grab it, they just don't spit it. Something I have a lot of confidence in.
I love that. Now, color is key.
Yeah.
Some people go to extremes on color. How do you handle color?
I'm very, very. I'm very. I said not particular, but I'm very.
Simple.
Blank. I'm very simple. Exactly. Very simple. I have about 3 or 4 color combinations that I put on a jig. You know, most of them, your green pumpkin on green pumpkin, you really can't get wrong with that any time of the year. A black and blue you know, really for stained water or you're fishing deep, I really like. And then something like a perch, you know, this kind of sun perch looking color right here.
That is a killer.
It is
an
absolute
right
killer.
There.
But now all the way through past the spawn, when those bluegills start spawning, you know, I'll take this same jig and I'll swim it just mm-hmm. as easily as I'll flip it and lay down and fish it. So these jigs can be extremely versatile. They run straight. And like you said, colors, keep them simple. I'll have three or four different colors that I'll stick to. Mm-hmm. I try not to go, you know, I see guys with purples and reds and pinks and everything else in their jigs. Fish what you have confidence in, but you don't have to spend a ton of money buying 10 different colors when really you can get away with only three or four. Just simplify your approach.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And one of the things I do for color that helps me when I'm fishing a jig is, like, I'd have only a few choices of jigs and a lot of different trailer colors because it's a little easier to change your color with a trailer. That's what I do sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I love this next jig because it's a fantastic, it's downsizing. And
that's right.
They fish love to bite a jig. Mm-hmm. And man, the Missile Baits has come out with a mini flip, came out a while back.
It's been for a while. Yeah.
And it's a beautiful jig.
It absolutely is. And the Ike mini flip is actually the one that I have caught. I couldn't tell you how many fish I've caught on this thing. And actually, the flip out, the bigger size, mm-hmm. only came out a couple of years ago.
Yep.
They came out with the Ike mini flip first, and this has been out, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now. But this is, you know, I what attracted me to this jig so much is I'll always look for a finesse type jig in anything. You know, hey, if this is a jig lake or something, I'm always going to try to go with something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And a lot of your finesse jigs are little small ball heads. They've got super, super light weed guards. The hooks mm-hmm. bend in them. But I can still get a half ounce just like this. I love flipping a half ounce. You know, a half ounce is kind of my go-to size for a jig. I don't, you know, rarely do I go under that unless I'm fishing extremely shallow or something like that. But a half ounce, you can be extremely accurate with it in your casting. It falls through cover extremely well. And it's going to be, you know, it's down. It's downsized from your standard jig. And you wouldn't think, you know, that little bit of difference will make a difference, but you would be surprised when you get a high-pressure day mm-hmm. and those fish are finicky. You know, how many times do we flip or we fish anything when the pressure's high and the bite's tough and we get a lot of strikes, we get a lot of hits?
Yep.
When you start getting that and that bite's tough, you need to immediately change something.
Yep.
And if you're flipping a jig, a lot of times downsizing to this thing. And you know what's really cool? I can't tell you how many smallmouth I've caught on this little thing.
Yeah.
Smallmouth will absolutely eat this thing
alive.
They
love a jig, don't they?
Oh, man, they absolutely, they hate a jig. I've caught a lot on it, man. And these are two go-tos for me. But I almost feel like a jig's dying right now. You know, everybody's going more finesse and, you know, a lot of Nico rigs big right now. Bigger creature baits and stuff like that. I almost feel like jigs are kind of falling off, you know, kind of mm-hmm. like a spinner bait. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people call, you know, a lot of people don't fish spinner baits anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can promise you my best finish last year in the Elite Series was on a spinner bait.
Yeah.
You know, so don't forget about them. Be versatile with your jigs and be simple when it comes to colors. And I'm telling you, you can have days and you can catch some big ones too.
Good, all good mm-hmm. advice. And the, because you say something, David Dudley reminds me of something he said at one of our Bass University seminars. Mm-hmm. Now he's won $1,000,000.
Sure he has.
And he's fired the flipping jig, and he fires it in favor of the soft plastic. He feels like
sure.
he can get bit with a creature.
Uh-huh.
He'll bite a creature as well as he'll bite a jig, and mm-hmm. and he has a theory about that. But
sure.
you know, I'm like you. There's a couple things I like. One of the things I like most about a jig is when they bite it, the hook. Mm-hmm. The catch-to-strike ratio is so good.
Oh, it is.
You know, versus a soft plastic where you got to pierce, you know, get that Texas mm-hmm. rig through. Mm-hmm. It's still high. It's higher percentage for me. I love fishing a jig.
Right.
You fish it in cold water. You talked about fishing it in cold water. Do you fish a jig all year round, or do you put it down any time of year?
Man, it depends. No, there is not a specific time of the year where I'm going to tell you I don't have a jig tied on.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be more specific to where we're going and what conditions are. But, man, I you know, I could probably count on one hand how many times I don't have a jig on my front deck throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
It just catches big ones. And I'm going to tell you, if I'm going around a lake and I'm looking for a big fish,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking for a big fish bite specifically, man, I almost always have one of these in hand just looking for that one bite.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of people put them down in the summer.
Yep.
But I promise you, it can work all season long.
All season long.
Especially, you know, I find that I use that mini flip more in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, I get away from the big jig in the size, me personally. Mm-hmm. But
And I typically do too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now flipping and pitching.
Yeah.
A jig is an excellent tool. Mm-hmm. We talk about Texas rigs.
Yep.
But you've got one of the hottest rigs out there right now, and you like to flip that too.
I absolutely do. And if you guys haven't heard of the Tokyo rig, you know, this right here is basically a drop shot for power fishermen. I mean, that's literally what it is. And this is this is one of those baits that if you're flipping heavy cover, and the bite's just going away, you're getting those strikes you're just not used to. This Tokyo rig, you know, especially, and Missile Baits just came out with their brand new quiver. This is a 6.5, it's a 6.5-inch worm. And what this thing does, it's basically your stick or Senko style bait. It's got the ribs in it like most Missile Baits products do, and it is extremely soft. And go to MissileBaits.com and watch the videos of this thing underwater. The action of this thing is incredible. And John Cruz almost won St. John's River. He got second
so close
on this quiver.
Yep.
Doing exactly this on this Tokyo rig.
By the way, you guys, we have John Cruz that we filmed just a couple of months ago with the quiver when it just came out in Tokyo rig, and he demonstrates exactly how he fishes it, how he flips it, how he works the bait, how he used it to get second place on St. John's River. Mm-hmm. All that's over where you guys are watching us right now on BassU.TV.
Cool. And this is a lot of approach. Now, I'm going to tell you, especially this time of the year, these fish will reload this time of the year. You know, there could be a stretch. You know, I typically go in the backs of creeks, look for the deepest water that's the furthest back before you get to the back.
Right.
And the fish tend to reload. And I don't, one day in a tournament, I might go in there and I might catch them on jig. You know, the next day they may not eat it, but the next day I may go in there with a Tokyo rig and fish this exact same places that I was doing with something different to give them a different look.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going back and I'm throwing them and I'm showing them the same baits every day. But Tokyo rig, again, when I'm flipping a jig, especially this time of the year, and I just started fishing this Tokyo rig probably 6 months ago, and I rarely ever since then have not had this thing tied on ever since then.
Wow.
And especially when John came out with this quiver and we saw what it could catch.
Right.
Man, this is some killer combination flipping stuff right here. If I had one bait to throw in my tackle box, one bait, it would be a jig, no doubt.
I love it. Definitely a tournament winning tactic.
Absolutely.
And this is definitely a killer strategy that I have to spend a little bit more time with. And one of the things that I was fascinated with, because we talked with John, after he did so well.
Right.
And the cool thing that he said about this, and I thought it was a great interpret, because I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, well, why not throw a drop shot? Why not, just rig it that way? But because of this ring that exists right there on the front of this bait, what that does is it allows him to use the heavier lines.
That's right.
The 12s, 15s, and 20s. Mm-hmm. And he still gets a free moving bait, as if you were fishing it finesse style.
Right.
But you get the sure hookups, and you can get that free movement.
The hookup ratio is incredible with that thing too.
Yeah, that's awesome. What he said. So there's something to it. It's been, of course, Ike brought this over from his trip to Japan. Guys out there were using it.
Yep.
And it's an amazing way to fish. Mm-hmm. So give us those great tips. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Now, you got any plans to get DQ'd in the upcoming tournament?
I've kind of thought about it. I didn't sleep much last
night. You're opting out of
that? It was
such an honest mistake, and I know I'm teasing and having fun with you. I know it sucked.
It's all good.
You missed that.
And I thought this week would be a little tougher getting over it because I should be out there fishing with them. But I'm so anal about rules and just how I did that. I still can't believe I did that. But no. If I don't make this year's classic, it should be 100% on me. So, but I got to catch them. I'm looking forward to it because bass puts us in some of the biggest fish factories out there, especially this year. Man, we could break century marks in literally any of the tournaments we go to this year.
Well, I love the trail, but my body of water that I'm most excited to see fish, I was just in the tournament because I haven't been there for years, is Santee Cooper.
Oh, man. Before I went to Florida, I did a round, and I spent a couple of days on Santee Cooper when I was supposed to. And then also went down to Eufaula, where we go after Chickamauga coming up.
Yep.
And because I never – those are the only two bodies of water that I haven't been to yet. So I went around, I spent a couple of days, and I'm going to tell you guys, Santee Cooper, Eufaula are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, we are going to – we're going to smash them there because, I mean, we're going when those fish should be spawning or right there around it. Man, that place is so healthy, and both of them.
Yeah, it's amazing. I know Santee, we used to go there for years, and we saw records breaking, fish limits breaking records.
You can see it. It's possible.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing that. Is there anything else on the trail that's a hot spot for you?
You know, I'm largemouth, of course. I was born and raised in South Louisiana, but I have a passion for smallmouth. I just absolutely love catching, and I typically do well when we go on the northern swing. But I am so looking forward.
Polar opposite from South Louisiana.
I know it, but like I find myself even in a place like Champlain that we're going, I'll probably chase smallmouth just because I love it. I have so much fun, and then I'm really looking forward to St. Lawrence River and of course St. Clair because I have, like I said, I have so much fun with those smallmouth. I'm really looking forward because St. Clair guys, St. Lawrence River, watch out. You could possibly see this, you know, could you imagine the century mark being broke on smallmouth? Mm-hmm. Guys, it could happen at St. Lawrence River. We're going to be there when those big smallmouth are going to be spawning. Wow. And they weigh in 30-pound bags during the spawn down there all year. Mm-hmm. You know, that 30-pound bags are pretty common to smallmouth up there. And, man, they're going to have us up there in July when those fish are going to be spawning.
Just at the end of it, I guess. Wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be huge.
And in St. Clair, of course, again, too, man. It's just, if I could live up there about 4 months out of the year, then I'll go back home.
<You know? laughs> I'm with you. I love them smallies, too. And it's good. Man, what a great trail. We're all going to be watching.
Yep.
We're going to be watching the Classic here.
Yep, absolutely.
It's, I don't know, almost through the first day. Mm-hmm. Have you been watching?
You know, I've tried not too much, but I have, man. I tell you what. There was a lot of people. I've got a lot of friends that are fishing it right now, but I'm going to tell you what. And I never tell this, and I never tell it to his face, but John Cruz, it's just his time. I really feel like that man has put in so much work to get to this point, and he's one of the most, you know, he's one of the best human beings on this planet, not just in the fishing industry, and I'm proud to call him a friend. So there's several guys I'm rooting for, but he's one of them. Go Cruz.
Yeah, well, he was out in front.
At
one point, I hadn't looked at it for a while.
I hadn't either for a while, but he was like in second or third last I looked.
Okay, well, we wish him all the best. We love John Cruz. We love Missile Baits. Mm-hmm. And we want to invite you guys to check out the flip-out jig, the mini flip.
Yep.
And what trailers are you using?
Those are D-bomb trailers.
D-bombs? D-bomb Both trailers. Of them are D-bomb.
That's right.
Okay.
And then if I could throw in there, St. Croix released their Legend Extreme rod today. Mm-hmm. We actually spent a week in Florida doing a photo shoot a couple of months ago. The most sensitive rod I've ever put in my hand. It's got carbon fiber guides, and it's like a shock of electricity. So you guys go check them out, too.
That's awesome. Do you use a different flipping stick for these jigs? Do you use the same one?
You know, I know I'll typically use the same one as long as I'm going with a half ounce on the mini flip.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm somewhere, you know, I'm not a tall guy. I'm 5'9". So, you know, a lot of guys try to flip with a 7'6" or 7'8" rod when they're 5'6", you know, tall. Yeah. You know, I'm typically a 7'1" to 7'2", somewhere in there. I like a medium heavy action, but then I like an extra fast tip.
Yeah.
I like something that's got a little more backbone that'll bend with them. But I'll typically, that 7'1" to 7'2" is what I'll flip with. Again, depending on the conditions, if I can get away with braid or not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm somewhere around there.
Awesome. Hey, man, well, I appreciate you taking the time to
Absolutely.
Talk with us.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
You bet. I will be pulling for you out there on the Elite Tour. And
we're
going to be back with more of the greatest anglers in the world talking about what they're really, really good at. I'm Pete Kluzak, Bass University TV.